hour, about 2:15, and brought her back here. And Stephanie and Louisa are actually reunited in London the last time I was there. And we have a partnership in the dream work. And so Stephanie is one of my partners in the dream work. And she kind of gave me some instructions on the way home last night about how I'm conducting myself and about some things that, in her and Louise's opinion, I'm doing wrong and that I need to correct it. And so this is like a higher hypothesis to the way that I'm conducting myself. And so the hypothesis is that I'm doing all of this work for free, and the higher hypothesis is that I need to charge for it. And so I made up my mind that I'm going to actually ask for money, you know. And I got some resistance in here, and I looked at the resistance and thought, well, do I want to just work for free, or do I want to get something? And then I imagined my bank account, you know, and I've got a situation where I have a bank loan to cover my overdraft, and I'm about $1,100 in the hole in my overdraft account, and I'm paying 16% interest on that a month. And I thought, well, gee, is this the way I want to live, or do I want to go for the higher hypothesis and ask for money? And I thought, I don't feel any resistance, you know. And so then I looked at myself asking for money, and here's what came out. And it was really full of light and everything. And I'm going to continue to do the dream work session for anybody who wants to come for $10. Anybody who wants to come and sit here can do that for $10. And anybody who wants to have a dream processed in the session has to pay $20. And then I thought about the fact that there are people who come here who I have borrowed money from in the past, and what should my attitude towards them be? And the fact is that I bankrupted all of my debts. And so I don't have any debts anymore. I don't owe anybody any money. So everybody has to pay $10 who wants to come, and everybody has to pay $20 who wants to have a dream session done in this situation. Now, I have a different relationship with Ram Dass, because Ram Dass, although I borrowed a lot of money from Ram Dass, I mean, Ram Dass, his relationship with me...
I'm a financier.
Over the years, his relationship with me has cost him a lot of money.
But he's independently wealthy, so...
And although Ram Dass has had the money to waste on me, he didn't really intend for it to be garbage, because he's not independently wealthy. He just had money that was sitting there because he buys his clothes in the fourth hand store and eats very little and drives his car until it fell in a hole and before he bought a new one. So he lives very frugally, Ram Dass does. When he takes a girlfriend out he asks her to pack a bag lunch so that they can go on a picnic with a brown bag, you know. Because he doesn't want the date to cost him anything. So anyway, Ram Dass has always been very frugal, because he needs to be frugal. So when he gave me all of this money that he gave me...
Because he's lost all his money.
It was really a sacrifice on his part. And I have been working all these years developing the dream work and haven't really... earned any money doing it, and so it's been a big sacrifice for me too. And for some reason, there hasn't been any angel or anybody, you know, from God pouring money into my pockets like a lot of my friends. I have a lot of friends with a lot of money. That's really amazing. I'm looking around here and I go, oh my God, look, these friends have got all this money and I got nothing. But I got something else. I got something else, and some of them want it, you know. Most of them don't, but some of them do. And so that's the situation. Of course, the $10 fee for sitting here, you know, is probably, Louisa is probably going to give me hell for that. She's going to say, Rafi, that isn't enough. And I'm going to say, well, fight through it yourself, you know. I'm hanging on to my concept here for a while. And then I want you to know that I have been invited recently by some people who were doing dream work with me. Oh, I have this special relationship with Ramdas, where Ramdas and I are signing in to unknown numbers. And we're doing dream work around these unknown numbers. And we're figuring out what that is, what that number is. And we're finding out that we're being trained to see a lot more subtle stuff in the dreams, more than we ever saw before. And that it's helping us to recognize more reality, so that we're actually able to see more things going on in the waking state too. And this relationship that I have with Ramdas is like a non-financial relationship. I'm getting a lot out of that, and Ramdas is getting a lot out of that, and we're coming together in a kind of a synthesis where it's a symbiotic relationship, and there's going to be no charge for that in the future. I have no intention of charging. And anybody who wants to get involved with me in that relationship is welcome to get involved in that relationship. But there has to be a commitment to it, because it's a very demanding kind of thing. Okay, so that's that. And then, they asked me to write a paper, because people are noticing that they're watching me do dream work. And they see it different all the time, and they don't know what my method is. And so they're asking me, Dominic and Ramdas have said to me, would you write out the steps that you go through in order to do a dream? And so I did that. And this, I've got about 6 pages, and it's about 65 or 70 sentences. And I need to write about 4 more, I think, 4 more sentences, and it's going to bring it to a conclusion. And it's the simplest, most straightforward thing that I have ever produced.
Good.
And I'm going to sell it for $500. Anybody who wants it, I'm going to sell it to them for $500. There's 27 years of love and hard labor and everything that has gone into that. And if I had 1 million people who wanted to buy it, I'd only sell it for $10. You know, that way I'd have 10 million. And 10 million would have given me a great start for founding the Academy for Human Creativity. You know what I mean? But I don't have 1 million people. I've only got about 4 or 5 people who will buy that from me. And that way I'll get $2,000 or $2,500, and I'll be able to pay off my debt to the bank, and I'll have myself a little cushion of maybe $1,300, and whoop-de-doo, right? Okay, so that's what came out of the experience of the space between the thoughts on the thing for the money. You seem to have a pleased look on your face, Ramdas.
I'm pleased to be here. I'm pleased with the conclusions you've come to. I'm pleased that you're pleased.
Great. Thank you.
And that you used the process. Stephanie, we're trying to, what we're learning about getting free in the dream state, we're trying to get real conscious in the waking state also, to use it, which Ran just described, and I've used it at times when I was alert, like something was upsetting, and then, okay, what's the higher hypothesis of this, and work with it, and I've had breakthroughs. In the waking state, it's like something that can constantly happen because our mind is always doing its thing. Mm. I mean, there's an opportunity to experience our own self really all the time, all day long. If we want to do it, we want to be alert.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
And this thing about that we're noticing that we're just seeing a lot more that's going on in the dream, we're able to write the dream out a lot more, a lot better. And we're able to see things that are going on in the waking state and see things that are going on inside of us in the waking state in relationship to what's going on out there that's causing us to shift already and to have powerful experiences that actually have a dynamic influence on the environment and make people like do a double take on us and get excited wanting to talk and things like that. Okay, any other communication that anybody or response that anybody would like to make about what has been said here so far today? So Dom, you said that you have to go right now?
Yeah, in about 5 minutes.
Okay. And you have to go when?
A half hour, and then I'll be back at noon. Dominic also hopes to be back at noon.
Yeah, I hope to be back soon.
Stephanie, normally we've set up this time on Mondays, which seems like an odd time, but it works. It's 9:30 to 2. I mean, we're looking at that time.
Monday's my only day off, and I've got to get this done. You know.
Do you have a dream, Dom?
I do. Yeah, but you can count me in. Count me in.
Okay.
I want to do a dream.
So you're going to be here later?
Yes. As soon as I'm done over there, I'm just going.
You think you'll be back here by about 11:30, 12 o'clock?
I'm hoping, yeah, between there, yeah.
And you have to leave at 11:30.
No. I have to leave at 10:40. I've got an appointment in Monticello.
Okay, so you've got a half an hour here.
Yeah. It'd be better I didn't do a dream now than I do it when I come back. Because I'll be back by noon, I'm pretty
okay,
sure.
Okay. Melanie, do you have a dream that you would like to do?
Well, I do have a dream, but I wasn't planning to necessarily do a dream. But I do have a dream.
You're not planning to do a dream.
Well, I didn't have any anticipation. I didn't know, you know, what was going on. So I do, but I didn't, you know.
Okay.
But I have a dream.
Stephanie, do you have a dream?
I do.
Oh, gotcha.
I had it last night. I didn't write it down.
You did not write it down?
No.
Okay.
Because it was in the night.
Pardon me?
It was in the night.
Oh.
And I wrote it.
But you do remember it. You do recall it somewhat.
Yeah, I do recall it.
Okay, and right now you're signed into number 3.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so...
Is that your natural sign? Or natural
no.
Name? Okay.
Good luck, Dom.
Thanks, Rand. I'll be back.
Okay, thanks. Are you aware of the circumstance around this dream? What question to God do you think you went to sleep with last night? When what is it that you in the perfect of all universes? Would want to be able to do and would want to be able to have above all other things right now, last night when you were going to sleep?
I think having come here and spent that time with you in the car, those hours in the car.
Yeah, because we were in the car for nearly 6 hours.
I know.
Well, we spent some time walking the streets of Jackson Heights and sitting in a restaurant having a beautiful meal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Indian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think, how can I have everything that I want in terms of how can I be here with you working on the dream work and fund myself and have my relationship and the children I want and all of that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Stephanie has a new boyfriend who's really great. I like him too. Even though I haven't seen him, I've heard all about it. And there is a real potential for the father of some children in this man. Who would also have the ability to support, financially support a family. So, but then there is a wild card in the middle of all of this, and that is Stephanie, although she has been a woman for 30 how many years?
5.
And has wanted children for at least 30 of those years. Right? Since you were 5 years old, you wanted to grow up and have children.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry for the interruption.
All right.
Melanie, your car's...
Oh, that's right.
Blocked me, and I forgot about it last night, so...
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
I can move it if you'd like.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be great. Let me see. Okay. Sorry. Thanks.
I'll just leave it in there.
No. You're going to leave it in there.
Go ahead with it, Melanie, and take care of it.
You know what? Just...
Don't just do it.
No, I know.
How are you, Steph?
I'm fine, Randy, yeah.
Do you like my response to your...
I do, Randy, yeah.
...to your request last night?
I want to know what the wild card is.
Sorry. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I missed the wild card.
No, I didn't say it.
You got me all excited.
I didn't say it, yes.
Oh, okay.
So Stephanie has grown up to be a woman now of 35 years. And the intense desire to have a husband who can be the father of her children has just been doing nothing except getting stronger all this time. And now, because Stephanie has let loose of certain attachments that she has to certain concepts, the blocks to that have moved out of the way, which is making it possible for Shiva to give Stephanie her heart's desire. And in the year about 2003 sometime, Stephanie met Louisa Lizarak. And Louisa Lizarak introduced Stephanie to Siddha Yoga and also to the dream work. And then Stephanie came that year, maybe it was 2002, I'm not sure, but in 2003 Stephanie came to the United States, late in 2003 or early 2004. And so she has been involved with the dream work for 6.5 or 7 years. And she has been really dedicated to it, to the extent that she has come here every year. A great expense to herself, because she can't work while she's here. She pays airfare. She pays for her own upkeep while she's here. She pays her own room and board. And usually, she puts a considerable amount of money into my pocket. What to me is a considerable amount of money. And I'm sure that for her it's a considerable amount of money too. And so this kind of dedication that she has had to the dream work comes from a heart that is finding it necessary to blend the desire to have a family and children with the desire to be able to continue to dedicate herself to dream work and to be a part of that as a partner and everything. So that looks like an impossible combination to the mind of anyone looking, or even to the one who is holding these two evidently contradictory or paradoxical desires. But paradox does not exist in reality. Paradox only exists in the mind. So it's a matter of coming to an awareness of the reality, where there is a hypothesis here: I want to be able to be a mother of children and a partner in the dream work, and a wife to a good husband, and enjoy the good husband and the family life and the children and so on, and also be a good, successful, devoted, dedicated partner in the dream work. I want to be able to do all of that, and I'm looking and I'm seeing contradictions. I don't know. I'm seeing obstacles. I'm seeing obstructions standing between me and that. Have I done a fair analysis of the whole situation? Mm-hmm. Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So now what? Here we are, inner self.
It's so funny. It's interesting you said paradox exists only in the mind, not in reality. And it never occurred to me before, but it's true. How can it exist outside of the mind?
There are no obstructions anywhere in reality.
Oh, it's fascinating. I never thought of it.
Yeah, we learned this in the stanzas on vibration. We wouldn't maybe have been able to see that if we hadn't read it in there and realized that this is the word.
It certainly makes it clearer, doesn't it?
And then we look and we see how that plays out, how we have obstructions that we think are in reality. And then we go and we do the dream work and we find, oh my goodness, there aren't any obstructions there. So the dream work has been able to test a lot of the claims that are made in the stanzas on vibration and the stanzas on recognition. And some of the things that we hear Baba and Guru Mai say, of course we look at it and we recognize the truth in it. But we wonder how we can incorporate that truth into our life. And then we go and we do dream work and we see that there are no obstructions except in the way that we think about that. How are you doing, Robin?
Great. I'm about to cry.
Oh. No, I mean, this the reality of these things do bring tears of joy. And tears of appreciation up, because it's an experience of God. Mm-hmm. And Ramdas and I are having really very beautiful and high experiences, both of us. And we have developed a friendship that we would have thought 4 or 5 months ago was unimaginable. Mm-hmm. And a dedication to each other and a dependence on each other that we would never have been able to imagine if it hadn't been for this process. We even walk together, you know, so that the old man gets a little exercise. But I have to usually wait for Ramdas to catch up to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
5:30. No, no, I can't. 6:15.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 8 o'clock is too late.
Stephanie can come too. No, it's dark. Yeah, it's dark now.
Yeah, Stephanie, I invited her to walk, and she said, I like to run, so anyway, that's... She said, I need to run. I feel better when I'm running.
Wow.
She can do that. Well, no.
She's got fast feet. She's got fast feet. Remember?
Yeah, okay.
Remember, what are your feet in? They're in
Leo.
Leo, right, yeah. Right. So they're expressive.
Okay, so Scorpio moons, are you still Scorpio rising?
No, I'm Sagittarius sun, Scorpio moon, Pisces. Pisces rising and Capricorn midheaven.
Oh, okay. All right. Have you noticed the shoes are not that significant to you since you changed to Capricorn midheaven?
Yeah, not as, definitely not as significant.
Did your boyfriend wear really beautiful shoes? Because Stephanie, when I first met her, she said, if I ever went out with a guy whose shoes I didn't love, I wouldn't go out with him again. And that's because of having Scorpio rising and Leo midheaven. Okay, so let's hear the dream.
Okay, so...
Oh, that's fascinating.
I mean, it's quite long, really, but okay, so it starts... What I first remember is I'm working in a company. It's some kind of hospitality. Well, I don't think it's a hotel, but it's something to do with hospitality, and I'm in a kind of managerial role. And I'm in there, my twin, you know, at the org, at the Scientology org, the woman I'm working with there, she's there, she's working for me in this company. And there's a client there, a female client there, who is doing, wants to do some business with us. And I go in there, into this room where this client is, and...
Excuse me just a second.
Yeah.
Tell me about the client.
She's a female. She's about 40. And she's powerful. She's got money, and she's kind of... You know, it's important that we get her, we give her a good impression of us, because I want her business. The company needs her business.
And how do you feel about it?
I feel a bit nervous, but I walk in there and I'm pissed off with my twin, Josie, her name is, because she's presented this meal, she's got this food for this woman, and the food is really bad. It's like really crappy food.
What's her name?
Josie.
J-O-T-I?
J-O-S-I-E.
She has what?
Presented this woman with a really crappy plate of food. Well, actually, she hasn't shown the woman that. She's got it there ready to give to her. And I get there just in time. And I'm like, Josie, you can't give this woman, this prospective client, this food. This food is really crap.
Oh, okay, good. Just let me get this done. Okay.
And that
now,
makes me...
before you realize that she's presenting this food to the client, what is happening?
I'm just walking in there.
And how are you feeling when you're walking in there?
I feel quite important, because I know I'm kind of in charge.
Okay, just a second.
But I'm not complete. I have got a boss, but I'm a manager. But I know I do have some power there.
This is important for me to get this down. As I walk in, I feel important.
And it's quite a beautiful building. It's like really high ceilings and white. Really white. And there's just like bits of red, like the plate of food is red, and the woman, the client, is in red.
Okay. Beautiful building. Beautiful building is in red and white?
No, it's white on the inside, very high ceilings, and the plate of food is red, and the woman, the client, is in a red outfit.
And so at what point does the feeling of importance, because I'm in charge, change into its opposite?
I think when I see the food, and I start to think, oh God, I can't even rely on my staff. And then I start to feel really like insecure that I can't rely on the staff, and it's all, I have to do everything. And that the client is going to get into a bad mood because I've had to go and organise some other food.
I'm going to lose my client because of the bad food. If she receives this bad food.
Yeah, well, it just gives a bad impression. And I'm shocked at the incompetence of Josie, like how she could think that that was okay. Although this dream is very long and there's a lot more to it, and we can go and look at a lot more to it, we've actually got enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've actually got enough here. We've got a whole timeline with a problem, turning point, and solution. And does anybody have immediately an insight into what is going on in the mind of the dreamer?
Based on her subordinates, she's got some trouble. But before that, she's walking into the room and she's confident.
Okay.
She's got, you know,
yeah.
A powerful, okay. She's a powerful spirit.
Now, I'm asking the question about not what do you see as the reality for her. What is her reality? I'm asking the question in terms of what is the actual reality? What is the relationship that her thoughts have? What is the content of her thought and her intuition? And what is her relationship with, of course, she believes her thoughts.
Right.
Yeah, but her thoughts are not relevant. They don't relate to the reality. And so the reality is one thing, and what she thinks about the reality is a completely, totally different thing. Remember, that's the basis of the dream work. That we're caught in a belief system that is a prison for us. Right? So what is the first prison that you see in this dream?
Where are you identified?
Scorpio.
Scorpio. Okay.
Well, she's focusing in on the food?
No, before that.
Okay.
Before that. That's already after the turning point.
Right, okay.
Or that is in the middle of the turning point.
Right. I think I'm in charge.
I think I'm great, I'm in charge, I've got subordinates, I'm doing something that's really going to make everything work. I'm the captain of this ship and the commander of my soul. And by God, things are going to happen the way that I say. Woo! What a very unfortunate delusion, right? For somebody who's trying to live in reality.
Is this the Scorpio attitude you were telling me about yesterday? Like the Scorpio can really, when they want something served, they weren't serving something, they can really come down hard on someone working for them if they're not living up to them.
Yeah. And now watch what she's doing to Josie. She's saying, oh my God, the incompetence of this Josie. How can she believe that this food is going to serve this woman? Oh my God, I gotta get in here and do something about making this right, because I don't want to lose this client. This client has a lot of money and I need money.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Not a Scorpio, she wouldn't say that though. Not as receptive, she wouldn't say that. She'd be saying, well,
She's not saying it to Josie. She's saying it in her own mind about Josie. We haven't got to the point yet where she's ready to say something to Josie.
Could we ask her?
We should. But what I want to get you to do right now is...
Yeah.
See, did you notice when I said all of this? Did you notice how Stephanie started to laugh?
No, I wasn't watching her.
Oh,
no.
Do it again, Stephanie. Look, I'm saying, Stephanie has got this attitude. Oh, I'm going to go in here. I got this client and I'm in charge. And look at this beautiful building we're in. Ah, it's all white in here. And I'm the emotional person and I'm in charge. And I got I do have one superior that I have to answer to. Oh, yeah. But right now, I don't see that superior, and I don't have to worry about him, because I can see that this food is shit, and this is... How can this Josie imagine that this is great? And while I'm saying all of this, see, it would normally, if it were a normal person in the dream workshop that had only been here for a few times, or maybe not at all, and they heard me talking like this, they would be so insulted, they would get up and walk out of here. And what Stephanie is doing, because she has a lot of experience in this, is she's laughing her head off. She's laughing her head off at this delusion that goes on in the way that we think and the way that we believe that our thoughts represent reality.
Right.
And this happiness that fills me up when I see Stephanie laughing, you know, is a happiness that I enjoy when I see you laughing too. Because Ramdas has really been great during the last weeks in his ability to play the role of the believed thought. Oh yeah, well this is what I believe and this is what I want and I'm going to do that. Yeah, and all of a sudden all kinds of obstacles come up, right? The obstacle of the food. The food is not good. But no obstacles are in reality. They're only in the thought. No obstacles are in reality. They're only in the thought.
So we don't create the thoughts or the obstacles.
No. No. We don't create the thoughts and we don't create the obstacles. God creates the thoughts. He gives us the motivation to believe the thought and get us imprisoned in that thought, locked into it. And then we're experiencing energy blocks inside of our body, literally, because of our belief in the thought, which forms the prison. And then God presents to us the higher hypothesis. Okay? So now here's the higher hypothesis. Stephanie walks in, she sees the client, she sees Josie, and she sees Josie offering the client this food that matches her dress. What a beautiful... Oh, look at this food, it matches my dress. And Stephanie says, oh my God, look at how horrible that food is. I've got to get in there and take charge of this. And I'm going to lose this client, or this is going to piss that lady off, and she's going to wonder, what kind of people am I coming in doing business with in here? How are you doing, Stephanie?
Good.
Are you doing okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Are you feeling a little uptight tightened up in the stomach?
No, I'm okay.
You're okay?
The client hadn't seen the food, by the way, in the dream.
Okay.
It was still behind the desk. She was just about to give it to her.
Okay.
And I put a stop to it.
Okay.
Is it worth asking her, asking Stephanie what her concern is about the client? What? Oh, she can't. Maybe it's worth asking anyway.
Yeah, my concern would be that she'd think that we were really cheap and didn't have good taste. And
even though you're Scorpio, what do you want from the client?
Okay, your question is a legitimate question, Rhonda. Stick okay. with it. Go ahead, ask her.
What do you want from this client?
I want her ability to juggle everything.
Okay. Now, see, you have already started the process of the dream work. And this is okay. This is okay. But I thought you were trying to find out something else about her reaction. Like in the... Okay, but anyway, Ramdas.
I was trying to find out if it was a desire to serve this woman or a desire to get money.
Okay, good. So the desire to get money is her hypothesis. I'm in a business here, we want money, we're going to go and we're going to do it this...
I think Ram Dass is confused because he's wondering from a Scorpio how yeah. I'd be in touch with my need for the money.
He's not confused.
No, I think he is, aren't you?
Yeah, I think I was. It's money for the business. Is it?
I can show you that he's not confused. His question is a very good dream work question.
No, I know it is. But I think earlier he was asking... Why? How I would know that I need money if I'm a Scorpio, because I'm not aware of my needs. Is that right, Ram Dass?
I was trying to get clear about, in the dream, whether your concern in serving has to do with serving this woman, giving yourself to her, or...
Getting something.
For a personal reason, or Or you wanted the money that this woman could give. Mm-hmm. That would be serving the... Okay, I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, you're on the right track. That's a totally a beautiful, legitimate question that has absolutely to do with what's going on in the Scorpio's mind. Because... She thinks that she's in touch with a need, but she's not.
Gotcha.
She thinks that she needs to be the manager and that she needs to get money by being the servant to these people who come in here. That's perfect Scorpio stuff. But she's not in touch with the need that she has. She doesn't have any idea what it is that she needs. You know how I know that? Because she's a Scorpio.
Yeah.
And she's identified with being a Scorpio. And she's making an impossibility out of this dream situation. She's believing that what she's seeing here is the reality.
Yeah.
And she's blocking out God. And she's blocking out the true nature of the reality. And she has no relationship with God here. She's going according to her sense perceptions of what she sees and the way and the thoughts that her identity type is making out of that whole thing. So what I'm gonna ask her now, my friend, is what happened before she thought that food was bad. Because her seeing this food is a reaction,
right.
Not a response. Okay, and so what we do is we talk, see you later, buddy.
Yeah, I'll be back soon.
Okay, what we do is we talk about the difference between response and reaction. The response is
is our awareness to the higher hypothesis. With Dominic, that was fast.
I had the wrong Monday. It's next Monday. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You came and go, just perfect timing.
Yeah, except that I don't really want Ramdas to miss this because he's.
You know what? Should I leave so you guys can finish?
No.
Of course not. Okay.
Why should you leave?
Of course not. I'm going to bring you up to date.
I just interrupted like I was.
No, it's fine. It's fine, Dominic. I mean, Kremeny, it's your house and everything.
Yeah, right?
But what's in
I got to follow the rules still.
Okay, let's bring Dom up to date.
Yeah,
okay?
That's good.
And we're doing Stephanie's dream.
Stephanie's dream.
Okay.
Stephanie wants to have a husband and an income and children, and she's wanted this for 30 years. She's 35 years old. And for 6.5 years, she's wanted to be a partner in the dream work. And she's wanted to make this a part of her life's profession.
And live closer to you.
And live closer to me.
And I have to say, interrupt, also, she's a magnificent dream work. She's phenomenal at the dream work.
Yeah. And of course, she has gone to great expense every year. This year she's coming for 2 weeks. Normally she stays for a lot longer than that. There have been times when she stayed for even 3 months, I think, or 2 months. And during that time, she stops her work, has no income, pays for her airfare, pays her rent, pays her groceries, and all of that because of her dedication. There isn't anybody else in the world who is dedicated to the work that much except one person. Who's that?
Louis.
Huh?
Louis.
Me.
You.
Me. I've been doing it for 28 years.
You're still broke.
And I'm in debt. I'm not only broke, I'm in debt.
I'll work on his dreams. I'll work on that piece of his dreams. I can do dreams for him.
But thank you, Melanie. But anyway, I mean, I'm happy. Can you tell? I'm happy. Because why? Because I'm making these amazing discoveries that are able to actually help people get a handle on their mind and to help people in their own spiritual practice. So and in their life, so that they live a more realistic relationship with the situation of the world that they're living in. And so it's like what we're doing now is situation analysis. So Stephanie, I asked her what is her desire, and she said to have a husband and a family with children, and to work, to live closer to you, and to be able to do the dream work and dedicate myself to the dream work, possibly as her way of contributing to life and so on.
And so you signed into that, Stephanie?
No, I'm in Scorpio already.
No, she didn't write that dream out. You mean, did she write that question out last night?
Yes, yes.
And she didn't, no, but I said, if everything were equal in the world and you could have whatever you want,
gotcha.
What is it that you want right now?
Okay.
Going to sleep last night.
Okay.
And that's what she came up with.
Oh, good, because that clarifies my dream, too.
Okay, yeah. Great. So then, so there's where we're at. And I always tell everybody, you know, any day the guru mind tells me to stop doing this dream work, I will stop, because she's my guru, and I think I'm doing the right thing, but I have a lot of evidence that I'm doing the right thing, because I see a lot of transformation in a lot of people's lives, and people even who write letters to Guru Maya about the transformations that they're having from the dream work that they get. And so far she hasn't told me to stop, you know, but if she ever does tell me to stop, I will. That'll be the last day. Okay. So anyway, so Stephanie in the dream is, she's working in a managerial role in a hospitality kind of thing. And there's one woman who's in her life who is working as a subordinate of hers, who is a higher hypothesis, right? The intuition. And then there's a female client in her 40s who is also a higher hypothesis, a part of the intuitive process. And this woman in her 40s has got money and she's powerful. And Stephanie is saying, I want her business because I want her income. I want the income from...
She knows how to juggle things. She said she knows how to juggle things.
Yeah, excuse me, Melanie, but she says, I want her business. She has a lot of money and she's very powerful and so on. And so she's talking about... She brings up the juggling much later. So these are the first things that are on her mind. And then she wants talents that this woman has also. Okay? And she wants, so she knows that she wants money, she wants to have her talents, she wants to have her as a client, she wants her subordinates to be competent and to be able to take care of the clients without her having to worry about it, and all of those things. But she's a Scorpio. So she's thinking that all of these things are her deep desire. And I say, those are not her deep desire, because she doesn't know what her deep desire is, because she's a Scorpio. And if I didn't know that she's a Scorpio, I wouldn't know how to say that, because that isn't evident in the dream. When you look at the dream and you take the dream at face value, you see, well, here's a woman who knows what she wants, and she's going out and going for it. She walks into the place, she describes the place about how beautiful it is, and la-di-da, and she sees the client in there, and she sees Josie, her subordinate, in there, and she's behind the counter, she sees this food that Josie, her subordinate, has prepared to serve to the client. And she freaks out about how bad this food looks. And oh my God, how can we... I'm so surprised at the incompetence of my subordinate and I can't rely on her to make good food for them. I have to do everything. I can't rely on anybody to do anything for me. I have to do everything. Okay, so there's where you walk in.
Okay, and that's how Scorpio thinks.
Right.
I've got to do everything myself.
Because they're discrimination.
Right.
And also this thing of, you know, I think I know what this client needs. The food being example.
Okay, and yeah. That's an important characteristic. The Scorpio thinks that she knows what this client needs.
Without asking her.
And and that she's going to be able to sacrifice herself for the benefit of the client, to make sure that the client gets what the client needs without the client asking for it.
Right.
Okay, so now there's a whole bunch of problems already prevalent here. And all of these problems are thoughts that are creating obstacles in the whole process of reality. She doesn't know what she needs. She doesn't really know what her client needs, because she hasn't asked her. Right?
Right.
She thinks that she has to do everything herself because she's a Scorpio. If she were a Taurus, she would delegate all of it to competent people and cut their head off if they weren't competent and get new ones in who are competent. Sort of like that, okay? So now Ram Dass wanted to ask her a question. And the question that he asked is, do you know what your needs are and what the woman's needs are? Do you know whether you're working to satisfy your needs or are you working to satisfy the woman's needs? And then he thought that wasn't really a good question because it doesn't get to the core of the issue. But it is really the question to ask. Do you know what the woman's needs are? And do you know what your needs are? is the perfect question to ask at this moment. Because why? Because first of all, she's receptive and she needs to know that what she is imagining this woman wants is not what that woman really needs. And she also needs to know that what she thinks she needs is not what she really does need. So Ramdas was driving the awareness deeper into her own self as well as to the woman. Now, in the middle of all of this talking, Stephanie, you've been watching this. Have you been watching this turning point in the dream? Mm-hmm. Has it already changed?
No, I haven't really been watching it. I've been trying to work, I've just been listening to your words.
Okay, well, after all of this talk, look at the turning point of the dream where you're walking into the room and you see the food. What do you see?
There's more of it. It's more abundant. It's still all red, but it looks more beautiful and abundant.
Okay, and what is your feeling about that food in relationship to the client?
She's not hungry anyway. That's my feeling.
Okay, so what does that do to your intention to go get better food for her?
Yeah, it's not there anymore.
Okay. See, now the changing of the mind creates a new dynamic about changing the action. And it creates a new dynamic about how you see. Now, what does the woman look like?
It's very radiant.
Okay, how is that different than the way she looked when you first walked into the room in the dream?
Well, when I first walked in, she was still very, very sort of... Yeah, she didn't look quite as light. She just looked more... a bit scarier, actually.
A bit scary?
Scared, because my thoughts were she's really, I have to impress her. She looked good, but she didn't look loving.
Okay, what does she look like now?
She looks loving.
And radiant.
Yeah.
Okay, so you see what has happened is in this discussion, Stephanie has already let go of some of the attachment to the concepts that she had in the dream. Okay, so now, what is demanded in the turning point here?
What's your question? What is demanded here?
Yeah. What is the dream demanding that Stephanie do in order to move through this turning point? She's being invited. But in order for her to accept the invitation, she has to absolutely change the way that she thinks about all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is demanded. Although it's an invitation, in order to respond to the invitation, certain changes are demanded or required. You can't go to heaven with an intention to live like you're in hell.
I think I've been so wrapped up in giving and serving this woman and the food and all of that. But I think what's demanded is that I just sort of stop and take in what's going on.
Good. Do you know why Josie, who is a Taurus, doesn't know how to serve good food?
I'm sorry.
Touché.
Because she's not aware of anyone's needs.
Right. Okay. So Josie is not aware of what this woman needs. So, does she have the capacity to serve food to her? No. Why is she serving food to her?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do.
Why?
Because she knows that you want that.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Josie knows that you're her boss and that you want...
Yeah, I expect that of her, yeah.
That you expect her to serve her food.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of a Scorpio boss who requires of a Taurus assistant to prepare and serve good food to
stupid.
A client?
This is stupid.
Not a very smart boss, is it?
But it's funny.
What's the matter, Dominic?
I'm confused about the Taurus serving food. Why it wouldn't be any good?
Because the Taurus doesn't know what the other person needs.
There are any concerns?
Right, I understand that. But before that, that explanation that you had before that.
What's that?
About, That Stephanie, Stephanie's receptive, so she doesn't know her needs, but the Taurus serving the food, because Stephanie has asked for her to serve food, and right. It's a request of Stephanie to her. So why would the Taurus... why would the Taurus want to serve food? Because Stephanie's asked her.
Because Stephanie is her boss. And this... In this organization, Stephanie is her boss.
Okay. But what does that got to do with the expressive?
What?
Or knowing the needs of yourself, but being able to carry through an order from your boss.
Well, in order for her to carry through the order from her boss,
yeah.
The order from her boss is, I want you to prepare food for this client when she comes in.
Right.
Period. She doesn't tell her what kind of food, she doesn't tell her what quality, she doesn't tell her how much, she doesn't tell her any of this stuff.
And the Taurus is just executing without thinking about what kind of food, how good it is.
How much the client needs.
What might the client want.
Yes.
Okay, I get it.
Okay. And see, one thing that happened in the as she listened to my diatribe on this whole thing, as I said, well, now when you look at the food, what do you see? And she said, well, it's more abundant, which is lawful, because a Taurus is bidirectional will, and they don't let anything in, and so they don't give very much either, because they don't let anything in, they don't have much to give, and so when they prepare food, they give. It's sparse and uninteresting and little. You know, it's like Dominic has a wife who's a Capricorn and a Virgo in the moon. And Dominic built this beautiful room onto the back of the house, and he wanted to fill it up with his furniture. And she's at the front door like this. No, I don't want anything coming in here. I don't want anything coming in here. You know, let everybody sit on the floor and. We'll just sit on the floor. We don't need all this stuff. Here, I don't want it here. Because, and this is the way Will is. Yeah. You know, you go into a Capricorn's house, and you look around and you say, well...
That's just like Steve's apartment.
Where's the living room? Well, what's the difference between the living room and a kitchen and a Capricorn's
This is so
house?
Funny around you, okay? I go over to Steve's...
Her boyfriend is the Capricorn.
I go around there. He's only got one mug. So he has to drink out the coffee thing.
Yeah.
One spoon.
When I moved into Dominic's house, it was the same situation. I went down and bought dishes and silverware and cups and glasses and everything. And Dominic looked at me and says, Jesus, what did we do before you bought all this? How the hell did we get along? And I said, we didn't, Dominic.
Well, it's true. I was so glad that I thought to myself, oh, this stuff is so nice and beautiful.
That's so funny.
Anyway, and the reason is not because Dominic didn't want it in the house.
Yeah.
It's because every time he tried to bring something into his house, his wife, who is expressive, Capricorn and Virgo, and he's receptive, she She won the fight. She won the struggle. It wasn't a fight. She won the struggle.
It was always a struggle to have a new idea about, you know,
well, her
making the house nicer.
Her emotional mind and intellect are facing away from each other, too.
Also, so she has no emotional connection to any waking state needs. And waking state needs is, I need a place to sit down. I need a cup to drink out of. I need a fork to eat with. Well, here's a fork. We got it at the store. It cost 13 cents. You know, and when you stick it in food, it leaches all kinds of chemicals into the food. And so you're eating food with all kinds of straight zinc.
Some Chinese radiation.
And all kinds of stuff in it. So when I got here, even though I lived like I do, you know, on my income, I went down and I bought a $40 set of flatware. This is made out of good stainless steel.
Oh, wow.
So that when you eat with it, you don't get sick from it. And so on. I'm not casting aspersions on Dominic. I'm explaining a situation here. Because Dominic is receptive in his waking state. He's actually, and he's got an expressive moon. When he's listening to his wife talking to him, he has a tendency to abdicate authority to her and let her have her way, because it's easier to do that than it is to insist on your own way and then have that to live with.
Yeah, I'm bringing stuff into the house. I don't want all this stuff in here.
Yeah, but that's the way our relationship was. It was just a fight over everything.
Like that. Okay, so you've got this going on in this dream about this Scorpio wanting an abundance of food and abundance of this and abundance of that to take care of this client, because she thinks that she needs to lavish all of this stuff on the client to get the client to cough up the money that she needs. Oh, if I give the client this stuff, then she'll give me her money.
Also, what's the significance of it being food? Because that's emotional mind symbol, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
So
you want to nurture. You're a woman. You want to nurture her and care for her. Mm-hmm. And you think that that way she's going to give you what you want without you having to ask for it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now go ahead, tell about Steve's house.
Like the other day,
Steve's apartment.
His best friend lives in the same block, him and his wife, and they're moving to Chicago. So they've got all these boxes of stuff, and they're going to Steve, do you want any of this stuff? And I'm there going, oh great, look, there's a whole plate set with cups and plates and everything, and there's, you know, a box of like a whisk and a serving spoon, you know.
So you have all that stuff in this apartment?
He's got none of this stuff. And I'm going, you know, this is really good. And I don't want any of that stuff. I don't want any of that stuff. And I'm going,
it's amazing.
I'm like, at least take the cutlery, plastic $1.99 cutlery tray, so that when I open the drawer, it's not all kind of, you know, and he's going,
oh, they wanted to sell it to him.
No, give it to him. They were giving it to
him.
Oh,
like, what does he mean with $1.99 cutlery tray?
You know, like on those plastic trays.
I know the tray, but why do you call it $1.99?
Because they're so cheap, and I'm like, at least.
He wasn't selling it for $1.99.
I'm like, at least take this thing.
Does Steve have room in his apartment for all of that?
Yeah, I mean, he's got empty drawers. He's got nothing in there. He's got like one glass.
And one glass in the place, empty drawers. Empty rooms with no place to sit down, and so on and so forth. And you go into any Capricorn's house, it's the same. It's the same story. You go into any Taurus's house, it's a little bit different. Because when a Taurus is looking in, stuff comes in, you know, without them seeing it. And once it's in there, they don't want to lose it.
Yeah, my dad's a terrible.
So a Taurus's house is full of shit.
Yeah, you see, my dad is a terrible.
But they can't use.
Right.
My dad's a Taurus. He's got a whole closet full of 1960s coats that he hasn't worn in like 50 years. He won't let them go. He's got like books. He's got a whole glass sort of pots of matchboxes that he's... Yeah.
And his wife brought those things in when he wasn't looking.
No, he brings them in. he won't let her throw them away.
He brings them in, okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, he has a bi-directional attitude, so he doesn't have the Capricorn attitude.
John, when he was little, he got all these, what are they called? The little
You know, he's Taurus.
Uh-oh.
One of the little dolls that they do Beanie Babies. And he's got a bag full of them. And then when he was 15, I said, John, let's sell these. You know, you're not using them. And he's, no. I want to keep them. No. I asked him recently, and he said, oh, let's hang on to them.
Where are they?
They're in the closet.
Yeah, you got a chance now. He ain't looking.
I know it.
He won't remember, right? He won't remember if it's gone.
That's interesting about Taurus.
Yeah, I had a brother-in-law who was a Taurus, and he literally had to buy the house next door.
Yes.
In order to put the shit in the house and in the backyard. So he had the 2 yards looked both of them like junkyards. There was no place for the kids to play. And he wouldn't get rid of any of that
stuff. Well, you know about Capricorn, I had a Capricorn boyfriend. And from what I understand, they don't know something until they bump into it, kind of.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't remember to call me unless he woke up in the morning with an erection. And he'd say, oh, I should think about it. And then he'd say, oh, Melanie.
Yeah, right.
Can you imagine?
And then he would call you in the morning, hey, Melanie, how are you doing? Why do you want to come over?
Like, imagine, he was completely out of touch with, you know, my needs, or
right.
Even remembering me.
Right. Yeah. Where are you, Stephanie?
She wants to go to the bathroom.
She disappeared. Anyway, are we having fun?
Yeah, that's funny. Oh my gosh. That is too funny. Well, great boxers are Capricorns, right? Like Muhammad Ali? They move like a butterfly and sting like a bee.
Yeah. Right. That was what Alvaro taught us.
Right.
Well, who's that?
Alvaro
taught us in his workshop that Capricorns are like boxers. Mm-hmm. And he talks about the paradox of the Capricorn and the paradox of the Capricorn and the Cancer.
Right.
And the Cancer flies like a butterfly, and they're all over the place, like this. But the Capricorn sees the opening, and bam! So they fly like a butterfly, and they sting like a bee. And that's what Muhammad Ali said about himself.
Was he a Capricorn?
Yeah.
Was he?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Oh, I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was the Cancer that stings.
He said a great butterfly, or a great boxer, flies like a butterfly and stings like a bee.
Moves like a butterfly, yeah.
Moves like
a butterfly.
Oh, he says moves like a butterfly.
Oh, well, maybe I got it wrong. But it's
what did I say?
I forgot.
he floats like a butterfly, stings like a bee.
I thought that was the Capricorn that wants space, doesn't want anything to break, to intrude on its space.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Maybe you're right. That's right.
And the Cancer is critical and focuses in on that one thing.
Right. Yeah,
and
you're
stings
right.
It.
Yeah.
Know?
So when he's hitting him, he's the Cancer.
But he also said that the Capricorns don't. And once they bump into something, that's how they know it. You know, like that's. My father was a Cancer, a Capricorn. One time he was sleeping and someone went over to play with his eyelashes and he hit him in his sleep. He just punched him and the guy was knocked out. But my father went back to sleep and woke up when they had the ambulance coming for this guy.
Yeah, anyway, that's true. The thing is, the sting comes from the ability of the Cancer in the higher hypothesis to see the opening of the punch.
I see. Oh, right. They can focus in. They can direct.
Right.
They can become completely focused at that moment when they have to.
Whereas the Capricorn is dancing all over the place.
Right.
And nobody can pin him down.
Well, I'll just say this last thing about Capricorns. My analyst was a Capricorn and my father was a Capricorn. And when I was studying to be a psychoanalyst, I developed this theory. I won't go into the whole theory, but basically it was that energy needs to move out. Because I was with all these Capricorns, so I was thinking, I was observing them and realizing they don't like anything to obstruct the energy from within them coming out. So what I would experiment with them, and I would I would help them to express anything they wanted to express. But I didn't think about not bumping into them, because now when I'm with Capricorns, I act in such a way that I don't bump into them, and they love that. They love it. But if they feel like they can express themselves freely and there's no obstruction, they're in heaven.
Well, and then you had this uncle who taught you the way that...
Oh, the nipple. That was my father's twin, so he was a Capricorn too.
Which was, but his attitude was get them on the nipple, is to nurture them.
You got to get the nipple in, is what he used to say to me. You got to get the nipple in.
Right. To nurture them.
The nipple in what?
Their mouth.
Oh, for a baby?
Yeah.
For a psychiatric patient.
And he would sit there and imagine them sucking on his breast.
Well, I did that with the psych. I didn't know if that's what he was doing, but I did that when I was working in a psychiatric facility. And the woman sitting across from me all of a sudden dropped her jaw. Like, she went like this. And I was in amazement. And then she recuperated from her psychosis. She came back to visit me within a couple of weeks. She'd been discharged, and she was completely fine. I don't know if it had to do with me, but it was like a wonder to the whole team. They were saying, well, what did you do? Did you change the meds? No, I didn't do anything. And I had to sit there and be quiet.
You got the nipple in.
Because I couldn't tell them I did that, you know. They would say, let's put her on some psychotropic medication.
Yeah, but you got the nipple in, and so...
Well, anyways, I don't always get the nipple in.
Okay, so here we are. Now, here's the turning point. Okay, so here's the boss, and she's got Josie, who is her assistant, but she's also her higher hypothesis. Okay? And Stephanie is thinking, we got to feed this woman, and Josie doesn't care about feeding. She's willing to feed anything to her. You know, give her something to eat. What? Well, just whatever's there, you know, give it to her. Whatever you got in your refrigerator, give it to her.
Oh my God. So
or your cupboard. Right. And so Stephanie
some old
goes
moldy
in.
Cheese there.
What?
Some old moldy cheese.
Stephanie goes in there and she sees this woman. Now she's radiant, right? Mm-hmm. So let's address it there. Mm-hmm. What are you going to tell this woman about? What you want her to do for you. How are you going to walk over to her and touch her? Lay your hand on, touch her somewhere, touch her somehow. Put your hand on her. And so that you can get the control, the upper hand. So that you can get the upper hand on her. And control her to get her to do what you want. And what is it that you really want her to do for you, and how are you going to say to her? I don't want you to actually do it. I want you to start imagining this. What are you coming up with? What do you need to do? First of all, what do you need from her?
I just need her ability to be able to have it all.
You need her ability to have it all?
Yeah.
Well, that means that you're going to go out and get it all for yourself. That's still a Scorpio attitude.
I see.
I want you to figure out what you need from her right now. She's a client, she's a person who's got a lot of money, and you're in a humanitarian kind of an operation here where you need to give a lot of stuff away, right, Stephanie? See why I need her as my partner? Because she needs to be able to bring a lot of money into the operation. We're in the role of hospitality. Hospitality.
Yeah, I mean, obviously having her money would be good, but I also need her support.
Okay.
For her knowledge.
I need her support, which means, do you need her knowledge so that you can use her knowledge to work better, or do you, wait a second, Steph.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Or do you need her, do you need her so that she can do, so you can delegate the role that you're looking to her for abilities?
Yeah, what
she's got the abilities. You don't need her abilities. She's got the abilities.
Okay,
you need her to be a part of your operation so that she can exercise the abilities.
What came up, that was really funny actually, because what came up first when you said that was, I want her to run my company.
Oh.
But then I had a reaction to that, which was, no, but it's my company, I need to run it.
Well, I know, but if she's the manager of the company, and you're the board, the chairman of the board of directors.
Yeah.
You getting the picture?
Yeah.
What's the matter, Don?
Well, I'm just trying to see that how that's a need of the Taurus.
This is a need of a Scorpio.
Right, but the hypothesis is a Taurus.
The higher hypothesis is a Taurus.
Yes, the higher hypothesis.
And she's seeing this woman as having money, abilities to manipulate and to juggle things.
Right.
And she's thinking, well, I want the ability to manipulate and juggle things, and I want her money. And then what the Scorpio does is she looks at her after she gets her money and her abilities to manage and her abilities to juggle things, she looks at her and she says, well, what use are you to me? And she throws her out. Because she's taken her ability to juggle or her ability to manage and her money. That's not what she needs.
Right.
That's not what she needs. Stephanie?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't need to acquire those abilities.
Why? The woman's got them. Put them to work.
Well, will a Scorpio do them?
Yeah. If a Scorpio can respond to the higher hypothesis.
Oh.
Because if I just take them, I will just start serving people with them.
Right, I see what you're saying. Rather you wouldn't take care of your needs.
Yeah.
So how would you put into a sentence the higher hypothesis of the need of the Taurus?
The need of the Scorpio. The need of the dreamer.
Yeah.
The dreamer needs to become aware of her need. The higher hypothesis is already aware of its need.
Yes.
The Taurus in the dream is already aware of its need. And she doesn't need to make her aware of her need. She needs to become aware of her need, of the dreamer and the Scorpio, who's still identified with Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
I'm jumping ahead.
Right.
I'm jumping ahead. Okay.
Right. You're trying to turn her into a Taurus already.
Right.
Yeah, she will never be a Taurus.
Yes.
She's a Scorpio, and she will always have the higher hypothesis. This is good that this is coming up this way, Dom.
Yeah.
She'll always have the Taurus as her higher hypothesis. She'll never be able to identify with it.
Right.
Okay, this is critical in the dream work, to realize that the hypothesis can never become the higher hypothesis. The identity type of the dreamer can never change to the identity type of the higher hypothesis. She can never take on that identity.
And when they try and do that, you know, in a waking state, you really become quite neurotic.
You become...
because you can't be that. Yeah. You can't be that. It doesn't really work
that
out.
That explains a lot.
Yeah, you're right.
Because don't we admire the qualities of the opposite alternative?
We admire them.
We admire them.
Yeah, because we wish that we had them.
Right.
Okay. We wish that we had them, but can you ever have them? No. You can't ever have them. They're not there for you to have. They're there for you to admire and for you to use to make up your mind. So you're seeing this woman. What do you need from her?
I need her to run my company.
I need her to run my company. Now, when you look at this radiant woman in this room, this all white room, and you recognize, I need her to run my company. How do you feel?
I feel good.
Yeah, and what does she look like?
She's like an Egyptian queen.
Okay, so now we've raised her from a good-looking woman who looks really hot, and dressed in red, right? Mm-hmm. And Stephanie's waking state is Sagittarius, so the red Sagittarian is coloring the food and the woman who she admires the most. And look at Josie. What's Josie doing there?
JC's like her assistant, her helper.
Not your assistant anymore.
No, she's her assistant.
And how's she looking?
Very beautiful.
Yeah? Are they a good match?
Yeah.
They're a good match. Wow. Okay, so see how the space in between gives you knowledge that you can then set into action later. But now, when she sets this knowledge into action, is she going to be doing it as a Scorpio, or is she going to be doing it as a Taurus?
As a Scorpio.
Well, not if she's in the space in between.
Neither.
If she carries it out the way that it's designed to be carried it out, she'll be carrying it out because she has been appropriated by the knowledge, and she's no longer capable of making the decision about how she's going to do it. The knowledge is going to do it through her. Because she is owned by the knowledge. And she is doing the will of the creative intelligence in the space between the thoughts. In other words, she's doing the will of God, God's way. Because it's God's world, not whose?
Mine.
Not Stephanie's. It's God's world, not Stephanie's. Mm. But what's the difference?
Well, not much.
None at all. None at all. Because what you do is you give up the desire that you had in the hypothesis. And you also give up the desire that you had in the higher hypothesis. Mm-hmm. Right? And you give up the incompetence that you had in the hypothesis, and you also give up the incompetence that you see in the higher hypothesis. Mm-hmm. And you become competent. Right? Mm-hmm. And because you are now competent, you don't have to worry about a problem of incompetent subordinates. Mm-hmm. Because you're in the space between. You look at them and you see they are too. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And you're not looking at the same world anymore. Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Steph?
I'm doing good. I've got a little bit of resistance come back in about how this all works out in a waking state.
I know. I understand that. So go back now, when you have the resistance about how's this all going to work out in the waking state, tell me what the woman looks like and tell me what Josie looks like.
Well, they've got their backs to me now.
Woo! And what do they look like, though?
Just kind of regular.
They look regular. Okay, so what Stephanie has done is she has said, well, I want a husband, and I want children, and I want to live closer to Rand, and I want to be dedicated to the dream work. And how's this all going to work out? In that, you know, I mean, I'm still hanging on to this hypothesis. Okay, so then the thing is go back to this space where you were able to see her looking like that. Go back to that. And where you see Josie as being her assistant. Okay. And now look at Stephanie, who wants to be a wife and have children, and who wants to live close to Rand and do the dream work. And what do you see in that Stephanie, from that perspective?
see that's possible. And also, it's like...
I mean, look at yourself. You didn't answer my question. You didn't answer my question.
Okay.
I said, what does that Stephanie look like from this perspective? And what do her the desires of her self-hypothesis look like from that perspective? See, see what you're doing, Stephanie, is you're moving into the space between the thoughts, and then you're just moving back to your regular hypothesis.
Okay.
And you're not bringing any of the knowledge and any of the power from that experience to help the girl, Stephanie, to rethink the original hypothesis.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You want that hypothesis to stay unchanged. Hey, Steph.
I think
that ain't how life works.
Yeah, I think the fear... there's a fear. If I let go of it, it won't ever happen.
If you let go of what?
The hypothesis, I want this, I want that.
Okay.
Oh, I won't get it.
There's a fear.
If I let it out of my sight, I won't get it.
That if I let go of it, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, but don't you see that if you're going to live this way, that you're going to live in a contradiction? You're not going to live identifying with a hypothesis and a higher hypothesis, because now you have experienced the space in between to a great extent. Mm. And if you just leave that, turn your back on it, and go back to the hypothesis and say, no, I'm rejecting that, and I'm going back to this. Mm. What happens to you?
Well, it's like a dead experience.
It's like a what?
A dead experience.
It's like a dead experience. Okay. Okay, that's what I'm hoping that you'll be able to see. Mm. And what I say in my work is that when you're attached to a concept, and you won't let go of that concept, you end up in a dead end. Mm. What in French they call a cul-de-sac. Mm. Mm. And in there, there's no energy, there's no power, there's no life, there's no vitality. And you can experience that, correct? Mm. The absence of that. Now, do you want vitality?
Yes.
Do you want life?
Yes.
Whose life?
God's life.
You want God's life. What about Stephanie and her life?
Well, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing?
If I'm in the space in between, it's the same thing.
If I'm in the space between and believe...
But then I don't really exist anyway.
Now, what about your ability to identify with the space between?
What about it?
Do you have that ability? Through the force of your intent, can you identify with that experience of looking at that woman and seeing her elevated to, what did you say she looks like?
Egyptian queen.
She looked, oh, right, an Egyptian queen. Mm-hmm. Okay, can you see her? Now it was an Egyptian queen? When you said Egyptian queen, Stephanie, I have to admit to you that your face changed from what it was before. So, look, you're a friend of mine and I love you. And I'm doing the best that I can to take care of you.
Yeah.
And I want you to get the benefit of this process.
Yeah.
And I want you to be able to hold on to the benefit of the process. And I want you to be able to get a true perspective on the Stephanie who wants a husband and children and to be able to live close to Rand and do the dream work and all of that. I want you to get a different perspective on how that Stephanie looks and what that really looks like.
Yeah.
Instead of looking at it from the perspective of the hypothesis.
Yeah.
Because in that perspective of the hypothesis, there isn't really any life in it. And you need vitality and life in that. And this is the way, this is called classical science, classical creativity. There's no romantic, there's no room for the romantic intention to hold on to a moment and turn this moment into eternity. Mm. And say, okay, I'm going to have this. This is the picture of my life. This is the way I want it. And this is going to be my eternity. This is going to be forever. Mm. You know?
Look what happened to Romeo and Juliet.
Well, they did never get there. They didn't make it. They never... they didn't do it. And it doesn't work. Because we live in a world of the only thing that's constant is change. We're constantly having to let go of things and move on. A year and a half ago, I had a wife and a son living in the house with me. I lost them. They're gone. Where are they? This whole thing has been a very big traumatic experience for me. And I have to live with the reality of this. And I want to go back. I want to go back to that. You know, I want to have what that gave to me, and I want that Benjamin to have what that gave to him. It isn't happening. It isn't going to happen. Okay, so now what do I have to do? I have to realize I want to go back to that. I have to confront the higher hypothesis. I have to be aware of the higher hypothesis and confront my mortal desire and say, what am I going to do about this? And how am I going to make a better world for me and Benjamin out of this by going to the higher hypothesis yet of all of that? Okay, so anyway, I don't have answers. All I have is questions about all of this. I'm very distraught about this whole thing myself. But I also, I don't want to be dead. You know, I can't afford to lie down and die. I've got a whole world waiting for me to get done with this stuff and to get this identity type science out in readable form and to make this dream work possible for other people, including Benjamin. Benjamin came into this a body that he lives in now so that he could inherit this legacy from me. That's what I have been told by someone who I believe. So I want to leave this legacy for Benjamin so that he can have a life. I was 65 when he was born. I'm not going to live all his life anyway. Right? He's going to grow up and he's going to be 35 and I'm going to be 100. Okay? And I'm not going to look like I looked when I was 65. But I'm going to merge into the infinite and visit Benjamin in his dreams and visit Benjamin in his memories. And I'm going to inspire him to take the work and to make something better out of it, because I'll always live with him as I do now.
When you sometimes in your dreams we go back and forth, like if she were to look at the woman who is the Egyptian queen,
right?
You know, that's my thing. I like to go back because I saw the.
No, I want that too. I want her to go where she's seeing this Egyptian queen.
Yeah, and I want
and
her,
seeing this other her Josie as yeah. this Egyptian queen's assistant, mm-hmm. and realize that she's the chairman of the board of directors, and this woman is working for her hospitality organization. And that she doesn't have any, she doesn't have any boss.
Oh! I just had a new perspective on it.
A what?
I just had a new perspective.
Yeah.
Great. So I can see Steve as well now.
You can see what?
Steve.
Yeah.
And the children. But they're with the Egyptian queen and Josie as sort of servants of God as well.
Yeah.
Like they're all there for me. To contribute in whatever way is needed.
Okay, and what about the rest of your desires? What else do you see? Where do you live?
uh, Yeah, I can see a vista that's like a desert.
Pardon me?
I can see a vista and it's a hot place.
Okay, do you know? Are you satisfied?
Can I just say something?
Just a second.
I'm still not sure about the action.
Pardon me?
I'm not sure about the action.
What do you mean about what action?
Like, what do I need to know? What do I need to do?
Huh?
You know, like, what do I need to know? What do I need to do?
I need to know. You speak a little slower.
You know, when you ask the question, what do I need to know? What do I need to do? I'm not sure what I need to do.
Yeah. Well, look at the Egyptian queen taking care of your children. Look at Steve. Look at Josie. What's your relationship with them?
They're my team.
And what are you doing?
You're there as well.
Huh?
You're there as well.
And what are you doing with these people? What's their relationship with you? What do you do with them? How do you talk with them?
Command them. I'm in control of them.
And how do you control them? What do you do to control them? Excellent. Because what do we do in the space between?
We do God's bidding.
And what is God doing?
Discovering himself.
And what are you doing in the middle of all of this?
Discovering myself.
And God.
Yeah. Well, the same thing.
So I just have to read this again, Dom.
Okay.
You know, requested by the will, the benefactor makes the sun and the moon rise, so that you see Steve, you see your children, you see Josie, you see the Egyptian queen, you see the desert there, and you know that you're their commander, right? And that they're doing what you want. And they're running this humanitarian this hospitality operation. Correct? Which does what? The hospitality operation does what? What is the hospitality?
Something to help the world.
Okay, great. And so the benefactor, who is Shiva, makes the sun and moon rise so that you can see yourself now sitting there in this real situation, in this desert setting, and bestows upon the embodied while they wake the objects that are in their heart. So Shiva bestows the objects that are in your heart.
Uh-huh.
And you have to just accept them.
Yeah.
And you have to relish that. And you have to thank him for that. Okay? So also in the dream state, residing in the center, Shiva manifests without exception, and most vividly, the things his devotee desires. Because he can't stop giving his devotee what he wants. And so the devotee just has to... The work is that the devotee has to continue accepting what Shiva is giving and offer his obeisance and offer his gratitude. What else is there to do? Because Shiva's the creator, right? And we're the enjoyer. Okay.
obstacles between wanting to have a husband and children and wanting to be able to live close to the dream work been removed?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can see yourself already living in such a state, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is what the Sufis call what you see there, Stephanie. What you see there in your imagination is creative imagination because you're in the space between. And you're seeing this reality in the space between where this woman is this Egyptian queen and Josie is her servant. And Steve and your children are all there and you're in this desert setting. Now, what the dream work teaches is this is the image that God has given to you as the answer to your request. Mm-hmm. How can I have all of this? Mm-hmm. Correct? Mm-hmm. So now you hold that. You hold that image. Mm-hmm. And you say, I want this image to manifest in the outside world. And if you know that God will make that manifest in the outside world, then you believe in God and you're holding the image that He gave you. And that is exercising creative imagination. And that's how we participate in the creation of the world. So the only thing that you need to do is hold that image and say to God, this is what I want. That's human creative imagination. You like it, Dom?
It's beautiful.
It's amazing.
Yes.
And there isn't anything else that you have to do, Stephanie, to make it happen.
Right.
Because why? Because I, the way that I experience myself, I'm not the creator. But I can participate in the creation if I go into the space between the thoughts and see there the fulfillment of my desire, how God has made that manifest to me. And then say, okay, God, this is what I want to see manifest in this outside world as a physical reality. Sadhguru Nanak Maharaj.